Oh, yeah. We are going to be expressing ourselves right here. Welcome. Welcome, everybody. You are tuned in to Express Yourself, where conversation and creativity collide. We're broadcasting from the heart of the Carbondale Creative District, and we have a really fun show for you this week. We are your hosts, Amy Kimberly and
Kat Hardy, a.k.a. The Rev.
Oh, it's so exciting to have you here, Kat.
Yes, I'm so happy to be here today.
Oh, we have so much to be thankful for, huh?
Indeed. Well, since it's Black Friday, as it's called, we only want to talk about how to buy local and support our regional makers. So we get a sneak peek into some upcoming holiday show at Takah with Hannah Kaufman. There's a pre-record from our absent host. We'll send him out some love, Brian Colley. And he's focusing on the Aspen Chapel's Small Wonder Show.
And we start out with Valley artist Jaws Z talking about her art, dyslexia, and Miami's art basil. So stay with us.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Stay
You're
tuned.
Here. We're here.
We're here. We're grateful. Ooh. We're here. We got some good information.
It's the last Friday of the month. Oh, yeah. We're just giving them uggs and oohs and yeah. All right. I hope everyone had just the most wonderful Thanksgiving. We are really excited to be here with you. You know, it's always kind of a little sleepy on that Friday after Thanksgiving. Everybody's kind of chilling out, trying to get through the food coma they experienced yesterday. But hopefully this is going to inspire you. I am here with Jocelyn Durge. Did I say that right?
Yes,
otherwise
did.
Known as Jaws D. And she is an artist in the Valley, been here since about 2015. And wow, she has a lot to talk about, and we want you to find out about it. So welcome.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Perfect. So let's talk about, first off, your art. Pyrography, is that how you say it?
Yeah. So basically when I was growing up, I realized I was dyslexic, and it was actually easier for me to express myself in art where images speak louder than words. Mm-hmm. And the way that I've been expressing myself lately is through pyrography, which is actually Latin for writing with fire. Mm. So what I do is I use a burning tool to create these images, basically. And I will actually be giving a demo at Aqua Art Miami, which is part of Art Basel, next week. I'll be doing that with the Shim Artist Network. And I will be demonstrating how I draw with fire on this piece right here.
That's really interesting. And you actually were an art major. And you probably went through a lot of different genres while you were in school. And I'm guessing maybe you discovered this after you left school, or did you discover it while you were still in school?
So I'm actually trained as a scientific illustrator and natural history illustrator. And a lot of that is usually done with watercolor and ink. But I was struggling to find galleries who wanted to take pieces on paper because they, you know, are so fragile. And also the framing can be very expensive. So my sister actually was still at art school, and she was experimenting with pyrography. And she said, you know, I think this would be a really good medium for you. And it totally removed a lot of the boundaries of having to, you know, worry about framing, the delicacy, the work's a lot more durable. As you saw, I just almost dropped one on the floor. So that's kind of what led me here. And what I do now when the pieces are finished are something like this one. I know people can't
see. She's showing us, but I can see it.
This is a fern brain. It's part of my botanical organ series. Mm-hmm. And if you see, when I tilt it, it catches the light. I use these crushed minerals, which I layer, and as the light changes, so does the piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you guys, I wish you could see this. It looks really good. So, It is really interesting how you fuse science and art. Because, right, I think I might have read somewhere that you almost went to school for science, or you were looking for a creative place in your life to be able to do your art, but it feels like you have this scientific part of you as well.
Yeah, well, I kind of like the exploration, especially through this botanical art series. I'm fascinated by fractals, mm-hmm. and I love how plants are fractals on the outside, meaning they're ever expanding, and humans are kind of fractals on the inside, so they're ever getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And that's actually what I've been exploring through that botanical series. I don't think I ever wanted to give up on my scientific illustration mm-hmm. roots. Mm-hmm. And I want to keep incorporating that in my work.
Awesome. Yeah. And so you just showed your botanical works in July, right? One of your pieces was in a show in New York?
I was showing the lung trees at a group show in New York called Nature Art Now, and that was part of Art Gotham. This, the fern brain that I just showed you, and was something that was part of the Biennale di Venezia in Venice last,
oh, nice.
I want to say, September.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that series, there's actually three of those, and then the continuation will be what we'll be showing and working on at Art Basel. So I'll also be showing this botanical organ series at Art Basel.
So how do you find these places? How do you get connected in the art world to the bigger picture?
Oh, boy. It's a lot of hitting the pavement. It's a lot of hit or miss. And then if you get lucky, you meet some of the right people, and then they introduce you to some more of the right people. And hopefully it just keeps snowballing from there.
Wow. Yeah, that's awesome. And I remember your first group showing that you did here in the Valley was at Thunder River Theater. And it appears that a lot of your work shows elsewhere, not in the Valley. Is there anywhere in the Valley people can access it?
Right now, I don't have any shows up in the Valley. The last show that I had in the Valley before Thunder River was at Jimmy's, if you remember that.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I did a solo show up at Jimmy's for a minute. And then COVID hit and everything kind of took a break. And then we did the group show at Thunder River. And right around then was when the Shim Art Network picked me up, and they have been gracious enough to take me to all these wonderful places. So now I've done an artist residency in Germany. I've shown at the Biennale di Venezia. This will be my second time at Art Basel. I just did a show and a residency in Mexico, and mm-hmm. I just had a show in New York.
Very cool. Let's talk about the Shim Network, because I had more questions.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You felt it. I was like, I need to know more about what this means. What does it mean to get picked up as an artist?
It's a digital platform, right? It's a place where artists can access.
So the Shim Artist Network is an international group of artists that are based in New York City. And what we are trying to do is put together artist residencies all over the world.
Mm.
I know you and I have talked a little bit about trying to create one here in the Valley.
Yeah.
So far, we've got the one in Mexico, the one in Germany, the one in New York City, and I believe they're going to do one in Dubai next.
Wow.
Yes.
Dubai.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So does that mean like money to live and like create your art? Like what all does that entail, a residency? Because like my background's medicine, and residency in medicine means one thing, but I want to know more about what an art residency looks like.
Well, you can apply for a grant. A lot of times artists usually end up, what I'm learning is that instead of going on vacation, we take art trips.
Exactly. You pay. It's like an art vacation.
Okay. It's like an art vacation. So they house you. Sometimes there's a food stipend. Usually there's a kitchen where you can cook your meals. And then they give you studio space and a place to stay, and then a really awesome community. And usually those residencies lead to big shows and big events like Art Basel Miami. I'll be showing at Art Aqua.
Mm-hmm.
Quick
mm-hmm.
sidebar about that.
Yeah.
Art Basel Miami is actually 22 little fairs all mushed together in South Beach, Florida. And yeah. so Art Aqua, or excuse my dyslexia, Aqua, Art Miami, is part of that. And I will be showing in the Penthouse Gallery.
Wow. Well, I'd love to talk more about Art Basel, but first I really want to talk to you a little bit about your dyslexia, because you really are an activist and you're using your art in many ways to create awareness. So I think it's important that we maybe have that conversation.
Absolutely. So this piece, the tongue twister pitcher plant, mm-hmm. this is kind of a great example of this. This sort of happened when I was in Mexico. I actually happen to be part Mexican, and this is kind of a narrative on how it can be tricky to navigate two languages at once,
mm-hmm. por supuesto.
Especially mm-hmm. when you flip your vowels around like I do. So we were at a restaurant, and I asked if I could pay the waitress, but I accidentally said pegar instead of pagar. Uh-huh. So she laughed at me because I basically was like, can I hit you?
Yeah. It's like, no, thank you. No,
she's
gracias.
Like, no, that's good. So the difference between an A and an E can change the entire nature of a sentence. Mm. And as a dyslexic person, you know, it can really alter your day. So that's where the concept for this piece was born.
Oh, it's beautiful. But you also, I think, are interested in teaching or working with dyslexic folks and art.
Yeah. So one of the things that happens when you're dyslexic is, let's just say part of your brain doesn't quite work the way other people's does. So what happens is it finds other ways to navigate. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times you'll see a lot of creative people. They will have found their own mnemonic devices. For me, my superpower, as I like to call it, is being able to think in images. So this really crazy experience happened and it turned into a piece of art for me. Mm-hmm. Other people might be able to process information differently. Like some people are really great with numbers and, you know, can't quite make letters work for them. Some mm-hmm. people, like me, are really great with images, but then can't quite make sense of characters.
Mm-hmm. Like that's I'm an occupational therapist. So that's dyslexia can manifest itself as so many different. It's like a spectrum, like anything.
Yeah.
Like the severity and then the part of your brain and whether it's language or math or both, you know, it can look very different for different people. But I've always thought people with dyslexia, it's like their right brain is more online.
Yeah.
And they're more creative and in that like timelessness part of our brain and this world that wants you to be in your left brain and wants you to be linear. I feel like dyslexia is like a revolution against being too much in your left brain or something.
Well, what's really interesting is that a lot of people who are inventors or CEOs right. are actually dyslexic and they have found creative ways to navigate the world that works for them. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, they've actually invented something mm-hmm. or found a way that's useful for everybody. Because I don't know if evolutionarily speaking, we're all designed to sit in little cubicles and read right. numbers and letters.
Doubtful.
Or if any of us are.
Yeah. Yeah. Doubtful.
Yeah. Exactly. Wow. So here you are. This is your second or third year at Art Basel?
This is my second.
Okay. Explain to our listening audience what it's like at Art Basel. You said it's like a lot of different art fairs, but it's pretty, it attracts the creme de la creme of artists and folks. So give us a little taste, because I've never been there. You ever been there, Kat?
No, we have a lot of friends, you know, and people yeah. from the Valley who participate. So I've just gotten to live vicariously through their social media.
Yeah.
But it looks amazing. I would feel like I would be overwhelmed just by the sheer number of offerings. Like any advice on how to navigate?
I always try to stay within a block of where I'm showing in case I have to pop into the gallery and meet somebody on a whim. You never know who you're going to meet.
Right.
You never know when you're going to meet somebody in terms of, you know, it could be midnight or it could be 9 a.m. Mm-hmm. It's just like a splash of color and creativity. For me, sometimes that can be a little bit overwhelming. But looking back on it, I always am just so excited that I participated in it. But I also feel like it's really good to be able to take a step back and reset yourself, because there is, like you said, it can be overwhelming. There's so much going on, and everybody's different, and everybody's style is so unique, and there's so much to look at. It can be a bit of a sensory overload sometimes.
Right.
That's what I would imagine.
Really exciting.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you mean you're not out at the all-night raves?
Usually I try to go to bed before that starts.
That's a good girl. Wow. So if someone wanted to find out more about you, where would they go?
I have a website, which is jozd.org, jozd.org. And my Instagram is jozdfineart. So that's jozdfineart.
And I believe you're doing some pet portraits, if people are interested, to help you raise money to get to Art Basel, which is really starting pretty soon here.
Yeah, I am. They make great Christmas presents. I've been doing working with some ashes for some people whose pets who've passed and mixing them into the pieces, which has made some really special.
What a ritual.
Yeah, I loved that. Like, they get to keep them with them and remember them. Also, you know, I just think that there's different ways that you can do it. So I am doing wood burnings. We're doing some watercolors. We're doing some freehand illustrations. And all of the proceeds will go towards raising funds for Art Basel.
Wow. Well, good luck to you. Art Basel starts, what, 2 weeks?
Oh, next week.
Next week.
Yep. It's coming down the pipe.
Well, good luck. And your work is beautiful, and hopefully we'll get to see a little more of it here in the Valley. But people should check out JOZD, J-O-Z-D. Really nice to have you here, and good luck next week.
Thanks so much for having me, guys.
Yeah. Thanks for being here.
All right. Yeah, we're feeling thankful. You feeling thankful, Kat?
Totally. And today is a very special person's birthday.
Oh, yeah? Who's that?
Mr. George.
Mr. George.
He's not with me. He's with his dad celebrating.
Oh, George. How old is he?
8.
Oh,
today. So it's my Labor Day, his birthday. So a special day. So I'm grateful to be a mother. I'm grateful to have a son and that we get to live and play and grow in this beautiful community of Carbondale.
Yay. Well, happy birthday, George. He's a Sagittarius just like I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a good month to be born in, or a good sign, because it goes kind of end of November. My daughter, Ruby, her birthday was the other day. She's right on the cusp. Bill's birthday's coming up. Kat's birthday's tomorrow. There's a lot of people's birthdays right now.
Lots of birthdays. So,
lots
yes.
It's a celebration.
Grateful.
I know. I find it funny because I'm like a bear. I think I'm of the bear clan, and it starts getting darker and colder, and I just want to hibernate.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to say, no matter what I want to do, whew, from like mid-November through December, it is like go, 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 party after party, and it's my most social time, even though I kind of want to hibernate.
Well, it's hard to fight our true nature, so I guess you have to find a balance somehow.
I think I found it.
Good.
All right. Well, Brian is not with us, but we have a little piece here that he caught up with. I'm not sure who. Could be Tom Ward. Could be someone else. At the Small Wonder Show, which is showing now up at Aspen Chapel. So here you go. Let's listen in.
Well, joining me here on Express Yourself Now via phone is Tom Ward and Michael Bonds, the co-directors at the Aspen Chapel Gallery, talking about Small Wonders. How's it going, guys?
Good, good.
Thanks for...
Yeah, it's sort of one of those shows that, you know, once it gets rolling, it kind of never stops.
The Small Wonders show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
How many years has Small Wonders been going on, I wonder?
This is the 18th year.
Oh, my gosh.
263rd show.
Oh, wow. That's a real number. Out of all the years the Aspen Chapel Gallery has been going, that's 263. Right. Is that what you said?
Yep. Yeah.
That's a lot of shows.
40th anniversary year.
Wow. That's huge. And I think, Tom, you've been there the whole time, right?
I have indeed. I think I've missed 10 openings altogether.
And Michael, how long have you been part of the Chapel Gallery now?
You know, it's kind of a blur, Brian. I'm not really positive. I think it's probably 7 or 8 years now. So, but I need to kind of go back and look at my first little info sheets and see when I actually really started. But it's been kind of a, you know, 7 or 8 year blur that we've been doing stuff together.
Time flies, I guess, over there, huh?
Yes, yeah. It does. The 8 shows that we do every year is kind of one of those things that just goes.
Right. Yep. I've been in several shows up there, and you guys just keep cranking. It's amazing. I wonder how many artists you've included in shows over the years. It's got to be like the entire valley, right?
A lot of them. I sort of throw out a number. It could be anywhere from 1,500 to 1,800.
Whoa.
Over the years.
Wow.
Because I go back and look at some of the early postcards and I go, oh, there's no one lives here anymore on that card.
Yeah.
Yep. One person is still here, you know. So, and here we've had 53 or 54 curators.
Wow.
And Carol Lowenstern was a co-director for 18 years before Michael.
That's right. Wow, yeah, that's incredible. That's incredible legacy that you've created for the Valley and for Aspen, and the Chapel Gallery just, you know, opened its doors to so many people. You guys do really good work up there. Yeah.
Thanks.
So let's talk about some Small Wonders things. It's your holiday, like annual holiday art exhibition. How does that work? Is there a curator, or how do you invite artists for that, and how many artists do you have?
We have 36 artists this time around. Basically, we started in late August kind of soliciting different artists that have participated in the past. And then we kind of search out some new artists that we can kind of get some new people that want to kind of go through the gallery as well. Mm-hmm. So we've got, like I said, 36 artists in this one, and we've got probably 8 or so new artists that we haven't shown before that
have
been, you know, a real nice addition to what we've always kind of carried with what's going on.
Yeah, nice. And I assume with Small Wonders, it's got to be in a certain dimension restraint, right?
Yeah, we've got everything is no larger than 12 by 12 framed size with mm-hmm. what's there. And we also have a maximum price of $250.
Oh, nice.
So we try to keep it affordable for, you know, we're really approaching the local orientation that this is a good place for you to come and Christmas shop. So we've got all kinds of eclectic kind of things that are there. And as far as the things in the art world, well, we've got pottery, we've got, you know, paintings, we've got encaustics, we've got printmaking, you know, just a lot of different things. We actually got an artist making cards this year, which is really fun for us to be able to do. We've got books, you know, all different kinds of a line. You'll find something that's there that we've kind of got going on.
That's amazing. And Michael, you're one of the artists as well, right?
Yep. I have my pottery in the show again this year, which is always kind of a real treat for me to kind of be able to put some things together and come up with some new ideas and put them out on the shelf and get some feedback. So it's been really good.
Can you just describe some of your work? I feel like your style is so different, and it really stands out when I come into a space like that. I'm kind of drawn to it immediately.
Well, thanks. My style, realistically, is I like to draw on clay, which is kind of interesting with what's there. So it's kind of almost like a printmaking version where I paint basically a very dark color on a white clay body.
Mm-hmm.
And then I come back in and it's almost like a scratch board where I'll basically carve it out and create shapes and motion and movement and different things. So this year I'm showing aspen leaves and maple leaves that are there that are in different patterns. Of course, the aspen leaves are in blacks and the maple leaves are all in reds and greens and some different things that are that way. And then also I've got some animal things that are pertinent to the valley with bears and buffaloes and moose and all kinds of different things that way as well.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I love the black and white look, and then you have like that color that just pops. Yeah, it's a really, really good style you got going on. And you have
the underglazes are really vibrant.
Yeah. You have a studio, Michael, at the Red Brick still, is that right?
Red Brick Center for the Arts,
yeah.
Studio 104. And nice. We've got a show starting on the 4th of December for the Red Brick Residents.
So oh, good kind of shout out.
Another thing that's going on with that. So it's a busy time of the year.
It sure is, I know. Tom, are there any artists that stick out to you as favorites for you this year? I know 36, there's a lot to choose from.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of some very nice watercolors by Tammy Lane.
Ooh, I love Tammy's work.
Nicole Pop has some very interesting stuff.
Nice.
Who's the lady next to you?
Lisa D'Alessio is doing some really fun things on parking tickets from Snowmass.
Oh, really?
She's painting on these parking stickers that she gets all the time.
She gets parking tickets to me.
Well, I think it's her parking stub for the garage.
Oh, the stubs, okay.
Right. And then, of course, there's Sam Luras, who makes the great, all the things out of found objects that she gets when she works at the thrift shop.
Oh, that's
all
right.
All these great animal, a lot of horses this year.
Yeah.
In her collection. And Kathy Honey, who's one of our curators, has some jeweled little things that are with jewels, not the right word. They're
kind of beads.
I think they're
kind of fun. Thing. Yeah.
So, and our curator, Kurt Carpenter's in the show. He's a curator. And Kathy Honey is a curator. So is Sam Luras and Amy Beidelman.
Oh, yeah.
Greg Watts is in the show. And those are our curators.
Yeah, talk
and
about that
also,
curation program. How does that work? You've got different shows throughout the year, and you've got different artists assigned to those to kind of organize, or how does that work?
Right. So the curators, we meet talk about the dates. We set up the calendar for the year, and people kind of rotate through the year. So if you're in a show in late summer, you're going to be a show in the fall the next year, and then it's going to move to the winter.
Okay.
So that everybody gets a shot at the different seasons. And the curators pick generally 10 artists, but sometimes they pick more.
Mm-hmm.
And they come up with a theme often based on the nonprofit partner that we're working with. This show we're working with Holiday Baskets as our nonprofit partner, and that's been standard now for 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, they do good stuff.
Getting gifts to 1,300 people in the valley at Christmas time.
Wow,
250 families. So the curators can pick, and people will call us or email us about wanting to be in the show, and we ask them to send us some visuals of their work, and then we send that out to the curators. And and often the curators will pick. They'll say, "Ooh, I like that person," because they're always looking. They have roughly probably a stable of anywhere from 3 to 5 that they always have in their shows. But then they like to have new artists too.
Yeah. So I guess I didn't realize. If there's folks listening and they want to participate in a show, they might be able to send like samples of their work to you guys, and you can share that with the curators.
That's exactly what happens. And then the curators will pick from there for their, depending on how they fit within the theme and with the rest of the artists that they've already chosen, they'll select different and new artists to be able to get into the shows. So
that's great.
That's one thing we really tried to strive on, is to try to keep, a new group coming through the gallery, just so it doesn't get stale.
I'm working on the grant for the city, and I think we had, out of the 8 shows, we had 37 new artists to the gallery last year.
Wow.
With the high school show, we get 83 kids, new you know, kids who've never been in the show.
Wow.
From the five high schools. That's in the January show.
Wow.
And most of those shows, the high school shows, are all curated by students. I was talking to one of the art teachers there, and their seniors curate their selection for the student show. So that's always kind of a nice little thing to kind of get into there. And, you know, it might not be something that we would have picked, but it's what's really relevant at the school and the themes that they've come up with for the year.
For sure.
It's really kind of fun to see what they do.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that show. You guys are really, I feel like there's not that many places to show local art these days, especially in Aspen. So you guys are kind of, I mean, the Red Brick is a great spot too, but the Aspen Chapel Gallery, you really opened your doors to so many new artists, like emerging artists and also established artists. But there's so many, we talk about like how important the arts are in our community and all that. And I think you guys are just doing a great job making that happen for people that are just trying this thing out for the first time. Maybe they would just get their foot in the door, but they're really exploring a new theme that you're showing there with the curators. So I'm just blown away every time I see the lineup coming from that.
Well, thanks, Brian.
Yeah.
I'm going to plug one. I'd like to plug one more thing that we've got going on this year.
Yeah, please do.
We'll be doing our 40th anniversary show that opens on February 25th.
Oh.
But we are actually out in the community now looking for artists that would like to show.
Oh, cool.
Realistically, it's kind of wide open. All the artists in the Valley, we should be seeing stuff on Facebook and Instagram about how to enter and doing everything that's there. And we want to basically just try to put it out there. There's very little regulations that would be on the wall. It's any size that you would like. Basically, the two regulations we have is no profanity and no nudes. So, it's kind of wide open, and you got $40, and you can make that happen and put some stuff on the wall.
So wow, that's great. And so that's celebrating
kind of a fun show for us.
That's celebrating the 40 years at the gallery then?
40 years of art in Aspen. That's kind of what we're calling it.
So, it
should be a really fun show. We've already started getting some artists putting works in, so look for entry forms. I'm hoping to get them all out to the launch pad and the art base, and it'll be on Instagram and Facebook.
Awesome.
And any place, and at the Red Brick, you know, we'll try to get it to wherever any locals are at that would like to show. And it's all the way up and down the valley, and I think we'll probably even go down to, you know, Rifle Spilt that far.
Oh, great.
We'll just see what happens and kind of get a fun variety of different new artwork going on.
Oh, that's awesome.
Artists can submit up to 3 pieces. And, and it's a fundraiser for the gallery, and so we're charging $40 for submission for each piece, but that goes to the gallery.
Mm-hmm.
And we're hoping, you know, and it's open to anybody. Anybody that's ever been in the show, would like to be in a show, thought about being in a show, can do it.
Oh, wow. Well, I love the open call entry kind of style, and I really miss the one that the biennial at the Aspen Art Museum back in the day, showing all the local artists. So I'm excited to look for those forms. How do people learn more about what you guys do or reach out if they're interested in showing, or how do they find you guys?
Basically, they could either call Tom or myself, or we also have our website, which is aspenchapelgallery.org.
Okay.
And we can, you know, or they can leave a voicemail on the chapel phone, and we'll be more than happy to call them back and kind of get some information to them, happens that way.
Awesome. Any other last word you want to add in about the chapel or Small Wonders, or how long is Small Wonders open for? I forgot to ask.
I think it comes down January 3rd.
Okay,
so open all the way during through the holidays. We'll be open this weekend as well over, you know, Small Business Friday and whatever Saturday is and, you know, all of those things. So realistically, we've had good sales this year. We've had good energy going.
Awesome.
So we want to just make sure that people understand there is some place in Aspen to shop, believe it or not. So that's kind of what we're really trying to fill a niche with what's going on that way. Once the art's off the wall, you know, they replace it. So it's always changing and it's always new.
Yeah.
So it's forever, you know, different each time you come through.
That's so cool.
Yeah. it is a show. You buy the piece and take it home.
Uh-huh, the cash
it
and carry.
It doesn't stay behind with a red dot, this show.
Yeah, I love that. Well, you guys are crushing it up there at the Aspen Chapel Gallery. Thanks so much for all you do, and thanks for taking time to chat here on Express Yourself with Katie and Kay. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Brian. Yeah,
thank you for having us. It's great.
Of course, yeah. Good to talk with you guys. Have a great day. We'll talk to you later.
You too.
All right.
Thanks, Brian.
Bye. Yeah, thanks,
Bye.
Guys. Bye.
Always heeding every sign. I know my Savior's with me, and He's teaching me to climb. Every day that I'm climbing, there's a battle for me. At the top of this ladder is another victory.
They're holding up the ladder that I'm climbing on. I'm
oh, yeah, that's a little Jacob Joliffe. He's playing up at the Wheeler Opera House. On the 5th of December. So I just thought I'd give you a little taste. He's a pretty hot bluegrass dude, mm-hmm. with a bunch of other dudes playing bluegrass. Mm-hmm. All right. Wow. We are so excited. We have Hannah Child in the studio with us. Not
Hello.
Only is she a great DJ and organizer and
Maker,
artist, but she has in her organization and artist and about three hats you're probably wearing at this upcoming event. She's put together a year two of a holiday bazaar. What do we call
market?
It?
The
market.
Basalt Holiday Market at Takah.
There you go.
Happening next Saturday, December 6th.
Good day. Good day.
Somebody's birthday.
Yeah.
I think you'll remember December 6th pretty easily, huh, Amy?
I won't forget it. I won't forget it.
What time is this market happening? So it is from 11 to 4, right before the Triangle Park tree lighting that's happening that night as well.
Oh, okay.
So you can
hit up both. It's a complete day.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yep. Hot chocolate all day long. Excellent. And so this is your second year with this market. And you were telling us it's sort of an extension of some of the vendors that people expected or saw at the summer farmers market. Can you talk a little bit about who's going to be there and what it looks like?
Yeah, we have, our Basalt Summer Market. It's all summer and it's 80 vendors, a lot of the farmers and everything. But we've always been wanting a winter market. So last year we were able to collaborate with Takah and have our first one. It was really awesome. So now we've got our tradition set. And we do begin with primarily the vendors from the Basalt Market have an opportunity. Some of them aren't as year-round with their craft or what they make. And then we do have a couple of produce.
Like, oh, nice.
Weston's Wagyu, he has some produce he'll be bringing, and Marigold Livestock also. So we will have a couple of produce vendors too, which is great.
Wonderful.
It'll be about 40 local makers, bakers, and artists.
Excellent. And so in terms of shopping, now, as we talked about at the beginning of the show, it's quote-unquote, I'm air-quoting, Black Friday.
That's right.
Which I don't participate a lot in colonizer holidays anymore, but my understanding is it's a day to buy stuff. Like right now is time to buy things for Christmas, and I'm so grateful for the Basalt Holiday Market because it connects you to the local vendors and it keeps our money in our local system, and it's supporting small business, family-owned business, and that I feel like is always a good idea, but now more than ever I just feel like it's really important to vote with your dollar.
Yeah. Always.
And always.
Yeah. So I feel, and I was at a Kraft Wellness, had a little Black Friday mm-hmm. wellness, you know, pop up today, and that was super neat. So I'm really proud of our community, and I want to know more about, you know, what motivates you and what local businesses you're excited to be, you know, highlighting yeah. that people can connect with.
And a prerequisite for us with the basalt market is you have to have pretty much made or grown everything that you're selling. It's not a designer have it made somewhere else. Mm-hmm. It's we're strict with that. And it's really great because there's no shortage here of people who put their heart and soul into what they do. It takes a ton of time. The things that we end up seeing are just a fraction of the time that was made, you know, into the idea. And, you know, RJ is Ute City Slope is a good example. He was at the Kraft.
I was there today.
He was there. He'll be with us at Takah doing permanent jewelry. And, you know, he's just newly full time jeweler, you mm-hmm. know, and mm-hmm. making his chain. I just have to highlight that is like insane. Mm-hmm. And so you have to check him out.
It's like little works of art.
Absolutely. It really absolutely. Is. And as far as jewelry goes, like I will be there with my highlighting my macrame, little micro macrame. Ooh. And we've got Starlux jewels and Chloe, Lainey and Lexi. And she does beautiful silver smithing work. And so that is definitely the most important thing when I put together a market. I've been a vendor for 20 years mm-hmm. and it's super vulnerable. And it's not always, you know, you're pushing yourself because you want to be able to support yourself with your art. And having all these markets happening in our community really gives us that opportunity. So if you can hold out and not impulsively shop today, mm-hmm. and be, you know, distracted by the sparkly sale, mm-hmm. you really can find something extremely special and unique. Next mm-hmm. Saturday, there's several markets going on. Then the RVR Thompson Barnes the next day. So there's plenty of opportunities. We're going to have candles and cards and price points from, you know, buying a card under $10 or $10 mm-hmm. to Micah Mitchell, Cultured Milk. He is a local artist. You can see his work over at Heirlooms. Mm-hmm. And he'll be outside in our Winter Wonderland patio with a full gallery of his work. So you can
Is he a photographer or a painter? Okay.
He has some mixed media pieces. They are vibrant and joyful. I feel.
That's so looky-loos are welcome, but come with that money to help get yeah. all your holiday gifts, support our local makers. And yeah. it sounds like there's lots of price points. So we have jewelry and art. What other things? And you said food.
Yeah, we have Wrap and Roll Annabelle, who does her line of out the market. It's like down the mm-hmm. block for her pastries. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. High Rockies Pastries will be there. We're also going to have Barks doing the dog treats.
Oh, nice. So, nice. Yeah.
So literally, it's a dog-friendly event? Kid-friendly dog? Or should we leave the dogs at home? Important clarity for this community.
Leave the dogs at home. Come get a treat for your dog. Or if you know someone with a dog and you love that dog, come get them something from Lisa at Barks. They're all like gourmet dog treats. So no, they're not welcome inside Takah, unfortunately.
You know, I find that looking for gifts for kids is always a tricky thing when you're, you know, looking local and trying to find things that will engage younger folks. So yes. Do you have some goodies there?
Absolutely. So Viola Studios, she has, she hand makes heirloom quality dolls that mm-hmm. come with the backpacking, like a backpack with the sleeping bag and the little tent. And she's made everything from upcycled sweaters wow. and beautiful materials. Her studio's in Elgeville. There will be, I'm trying to think of everything going on there. And actually, the jewelry, too.
Mm-hmm. That Secret Door Studio, the kids might really dig Maria's.
Maria.
Is she going to have her little doors there?
Maria is. I feel very grateful because she's dipping her toes now into markets.
Right.
And she's creating a fairy wonderland. Oh. She will be outside on the patio as well. She'll have a full 10 by 10, like immersive fairy space that you can. And it is also a kid friendly event. The art base is going to have a gift wrap table. So we have craft paper and you can decorate your own wrapping paper. So bring your kids, have them sit at the table after they've checked, you know, whatever. Don't rush yourself through this. There's going to be a lot to really appreciate. So take your time. And it is definitely kid friendly.
Awesome.
That's fabulous. And you can get hot chocolate, I guess.
TBD.
You said pastries.
There's definitely pastries. Had a little snafu with some. We're going to see. I'm hoping the hot chocolate but the bar will be open.
Well, that's all that counts. Okay, you're the one that brought up the hot chocolate.
You can get a hot toddy while you're walking around, which is the perfect winter drink. And so hopefully there will be hot chocolate too.
So what time does this start again?
It's from 11 to 4.
So 11 to 4, and then boom, it's just gone like that.
I know.
So.
Well, and you can go down to the tree lighting. The Lions Club will have hot chocolate.
There you go.
And the donut truck will be down there. Oh. So it's a full day event.
Wow.
Right. So
What about any music or background music?
Hannah Child's mixtape will be on the sound. I prefer to go with a Motown Christmas.
Okay. I agree.
I'm sorry, everyone who's the Mannheim Steamroller fan, but that's not my...
No, Eddie Vedder Christmas music?
Well,
he didn't put out a Christmas album?
I'm sure he's got...
I don't know. I don't think Eddie did.
Oh, I love you, Amy.
Too cool.
Thanks for remembering that.
Is there any entry fee or is it free to come?
It's free to get in.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very cool.
Definitely.
And so the looky-loos and the spenders. Everyone's welcome. The kids, not the dogs.
Not the dogs. And you can definitely find something for everyone.
Is there a place, like a website or anywhere that we can go where there's like a list or an event where people can see the vendors all listed out so they know?
Yes. Yeah, so I am doing my best to have. So if you go to Instagram, Basalt Markets, I'm highlighting the vendors. The details about the event are there. You can go to Takah. Everything that we're sharing will be in their stories.
Oh, awesome.
Facebook, I've created an event under Hannah Made. And the town of Basalt has also created an event page. I am highlighting artists within the comments section of the Facebook post. So I'm trying and to give everyone an opportunity who does social media in different ways to be able to see who's going to be there. And the individual artists will be highlighting what they're
I've seen a lot of posts. You said there's 40, around 40?
There's vendors? 40 vendors, yeah. Wow. Yeah, so I'm doing my best. I got to make jewelry, too, so.
Right.
You're taking it on, girl.
Right. What's your favorite part about hosting events?
I love bringing artists together. I've been doing markets for 20 years, and some of my closest friends I met doing the markets, and we all just take this risk putting ourselves out there, and it's the most meaningful thing to encourage each other and to see it all come together.
Totally. Yeah. Especially because it's not realistic for all, you know, with real estate, like all of us having our own storefronts, and you know, it just doesn't work with business. So these markets are really really vital to our self-employed maker community here.
Absolutely.
So thank you for all of your heart and effort and time that you pour into all that you do for our community.
I am grateful. I'm really honored that people trust me. So thank you.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yay. Well, gosh. And you know, just so people know, I mean, there are a lot of places. We're very lucky that you can get out there and support local artists.
Yes.
As Hannah said, while Takah, you might want to make it your first stop. There is a lot going on, a lot of markets. Redstone has their market next week. And
Waldorf.
Waldorf has a winter fair. And then The Barn, let's just touch on that. That is on Sunday, the 7th, and you're an artist. You're going to be in that at the RVR Barn.
Yeah, and I want to give a special thank you both to Takah for allowing us to have our market there, and to Karen Pearson and Brian Leisure for hosting us at the Old Thompson Barn, and to Joe Leonard. So they put that together, and it's a real treat. It's a really special market, and that one is Sunday, I believe, from 11 to 3. I might be getting the time wrong, but you can go to Old Thompson Barn Market on Instagram, and there's posters everywhere, too.
So, guys, I would not be out there this weekend. You just got to save it up and get your game on for next weekend, because there should be plenty to look at. Oh, my God.
Just, totally. Just block so off the weekend for shopping next weekend and relax this weekend and don't be impulsive.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And honestly, the best presents are ones that are really thoughtful and made, you
and
know.
And you know the artist. You're going to meet, like, right. You know, Sue Hanisian does the stained glass that you can see at the Village mm-hmm. Smithy. Mm-hmm. And she's going to have them hanging all over the windows at Takah. And, oh, I mean, you're nice. Really going to be giving, you're going to make a connection with the gift, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. So hold out for that.
Right. Otherwise, and you might make connection, but then you have to give that gift to someone.
Well, you can give. So,
maybe you could shop for yourself, too.
Well, that kind of does happen. Yeah, you know, yeah, it's like, yeah, well, I didn't mean to get one for myself. But isn't that great when you feel like you love something enough? It's like, well, I deserve that, too. So
that's right.
Give mm-hmm. a gift.
Get
give a gift.
Gift
to yourself. It's
time to receive.
And to receive.
Give and receive.
Give and
that's
receive.
Right. That's yeah. right. This is the season of giving and receiving. And it's not always easy for people to receive.
No.
Right?
I think that's a huge
I'm working
challenge.
On it.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
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 Well, everybody, we've got just a couple more minutes. We've got like 3 more minutes. So we can continue on. Do we know what's going on around this town? It's kind of quiet, and it's kind of like you can hike and bike. You can hike and bike.
Yeah, last night I wanted to notice what was going on, you know, once I kind of wrapped and so I just took a stroll and everything was closed. It was mm-hmm. wild.
That's what I like, though, about Carbondale, actually, is that we have those downtimes. You know, when you're in a tourist environment, it's very different. Like, you don't close as much. You don't, you know, our town could be changing here. But, like, when I was just walking down the street here, I mean, there was nobody on the street.
It was like the Nugget was the only thing open.
Yeah, the Nugget was,
the Nugget was holding it down. It was holding it down.
But exactly. We will, you know, you have to save up your energy for the things like you know, there are a lot of, like, ASIUPs having their bingo, their music trivia fundraisers, like, a week from Tuesday. Labor right. of Love
oh,
is Friday.
Oh, it's coming up, yeah.
Katie and Kay, so appreciate your downtime. I know a lot right. of people are like antsy for snow.
Fill your
for
social
me, with the
engine.
Market, I'm kind of like, if it's like this next weekend, right. I'll be all right.
Yeah, that yeah. it was opening days this week. It was, yeah.
And some people kind of went, but, you know, in a way, it's nice to not go. I may drive to Grand Mesa. There's snow there and just check it out just to kind of get me in the winter spirit.
I know, right?
But I might not. I might get lazy and hang out.
Well, you have to save your energy to celebrate your birthday.
I sure do. I yeah. sure do. Well, it's been so wonderful to have both of you here. It's so fun. This is the first show Kat and I have done together.
Love it.
Yay.
But we miss you, Brian. Don't worry. And,
yeah, you are not replaceable. I
yeah,
know this.
Yeah, not replaceable. And I think me and Brian are going to do our first show together in like 3 months. It feels like maybe next week. First Fridays, Light Up Carbondale. The game is on, folks. Next mm-hmm. next week, it's whew, yeah. off to the races.
Save your energy for next week.
All right.
And then say yes to everything.
Well, I'm thankful for all of you listening.
Thank you.
So, bye.
Thanks for coming in.